Happy Friday, everybody. It's the Information's 411, your weekly podcast from your reporting friends at theinformation.com. My name is Tom Dotan. I work here. I've got two of my favorite colleagues on the line here. I say that every week. I've got Corey Weinberg and Zoe Bernard, both Skyping in from undisclosed spots around the country to talk about a very important topic. It's just one topic today, but it's a big and an important one. And it's all about the job market and how, you know, the mass unemployment that is sweeping the country, reaching levels not seen since the Great Depression, is affecting people in the tech industry and beyond. And both Zoe and Corey have done a number of stories in the last month or so, looking at different angles of how the job market has been affected by the pandemic and, you know, what it's been like for people that are either losing their jobs or on the hunt for new jobs. Before I get into that, though, I do want to plug one event that we have coming up. It is an interesting one that we have about the media business and journalism. So if you are interested in those fields and you're looking for summer school, I guess, if you're looking for more training, if for more information, so either you're in the field or looking to join journalism, we've got a cool program that is free, and it takes place during July, and we're hosting 8-hour-long free classes over Zoom with media professionals from The Times, that's the New York Times, Gimlet, Politico, and of course, Jessica Lesson, our co-founder and CEO, to kind of give people tips and insights on how you build a career in journalism. So just because it's tough times in media doesn't mean you should give up on the field. That's what I say. But anyway, the course is also free and open to all. If you want more information on it, I'm going to send you over to Jessica. Email her at jessica@theinformation.com, and she will probably direct you to the right place to sign up for this thing. But it's an awesome program, the first time we've done it, and I'm very excited for it. Corey, Zoe, you guys there?
Hello.
Yes. Hey.
So let's go off right into Zoe, who had an interesting story this week about job listings that are not exactly what they seem. But before we get into that, I just want to talk to you more broadly, because you've done a number of stories on this topic. You know, what has it been like for you talking to people who are on the hunt for jobs or have been laid off? I mean, what kind of came up to you as you're talking to people that are in, you know, this really unfortunate position?
I mean, I think there is a tremendous level of uncertainty. People are trying to figure out whether or not they should start budgeting to be out of work for, you know, the next 7-8 months. There's been instances in which I'm reporting a story or I have a certain anecdote that I want to use, and someone who's recently laid off will actually get a job by the time that I'm done reporting it. So it's like the climate is just changing so drastically. I think that there's the immigrant aspect of people who have visas who are expecting that they're going to have to leave the country within 2 weeks' time if they're not able to find work.
Wow.
But it's very bleak. And yeah, I really feel for people who are in this predicament.
Right. And one especially that really came out of nowhere. I mean, no one could have foreseen. I mean, even those who predicted the pandemic, I don't think really foresaw how dramatic an effect it was going to have on almost every sector of our economy, and almost instantly, if you think about it.
And I think go ahead, Corey.
Oh, I'm just going to say, I think that's what particularly makes it so difficult for people is they're being laid off in the middle of a pandemic. You know, when I was covering layoffs at WeWork last year, you know, they laid off 2,500 people thereabouts. Those people were, you know, that was obviously also a really life-altering event for those people, but at least they were being laid off in a strong economy, you know, when every other startup in New York or San Francisco was hiring. The people laid off right now are often facing, a much tougher job climate.
And I mean, if you guys have talked to people who, you know, still have jobs, and I can speak to this a little bit too, because, you know, covering media, it's been kind of a bloodbath for a lot of these companies, especially mm-hmm. the smaller ones. A lot of it kind of feels like a slow motion train wreck, or at least a disaster scenario where you can see around you and just wondering, when is my time going to be up? And it's a really kind of unnerving event to take place. I mean, is that how you guys have seen it too, from your reporting?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think, it's on one hand, you have like the tech industry, I really think of as like people kind of refer to it as a community. And when you have companies that, you know, have pretty highbrow missions, you know, laying off hundreds of people. I think that does sort of dent the idea that, you know, these companies are not just capitalist machines in a way. But because I think people do look at these companies as, and Silicon Valley as a whole, as a community, it's particularly traumatic or particularly, you know, hard to stomach. I mean, you have these, you know, positive signs, I think, that's also coming about it, you know, when you have layoff lists that are, have really become pretty normalized in this job market, you know, spreadsheets that are, you know, really being passed around from recruiters to recruiter, where people can like insert their job title and their name. You know, just seeing those type of lists fly around Slack channels and LinkedIn, you know, I think that puts people on edge.
Yeah. I mean, for you, Zoe, you had this really, really great piece this week about, you know, the illusion of jobs. And when, as you're in a position of being jobless and hunting around for something, and you see job boards that have what look to be availabilities, but there really aren't there. I mean, just emotionally, what has that been like for people that kind of have these mirages of employment just thrust in front of them?
I mean, I think it's just, it's one of, it's like the icing on the cake of like a terrible, very terrible cake. I mean, it's like here in the process is already, the process is already so horrible and it's so incredibly competitive. And then on top of that, you can't even trust the information that you're receiving out there. I mean, arguably there are probably more people than any other point in history using these search engines to find a job. And then when the listings aren't accurate, it's maddening, I think. I think that there's a lot of employers who are, you know, they're pipelining, as they call it. They're trying to assess the talent pool or keep tabs on promising candidates who are now in the market. But I think it really leaves a sour taste in people's mouths who are interviewing right now.
That's crazy. So basically, the reason that they defend putting these job openings up, even though they're not actively hiring, is like, we just want to get a sense of who is interested?
That is one aspect of it. There was one, a tech company called Candor that threw together an Airtable sheet that has about 8,000 companies on it at the moment. And that sort of gives a view into who is actually actively hiring. But the founder, one of the co-founders of the list, told me that she was approached by a number of companies who said, you know, we want to continue having these job postings out there, because even if we're not going to fill this listing in the next 6 months, it's really valuable for us to sort of collect this data on a person that maybe would be a really perfect fit for a role that we might be hiring at some point in the foreseeable future.
Right. I mean, a whole lot of good that does if you need money, you know,
yeah.
you gotta put food on the plate. So like Corey, from a historical context, where does this current recession or whatever you want to call it fit into the other recessions that happened in the tech industry? Like .com, that was clearly a huge bust. A lot of companies with a bunch of funding just sort of went under. What did unemployment look like then?
Yeah, we tried to look at this a little bit. It's definitely a little difficult to compare right now. But one resource that's really been quite heavily used by every reporter, I feel like, who's covering tech, is this sort of crowdsourced website that was put up called layoffs.fyi. A lot of like crowdsourced material that's sort of cropping up that's helping, I think, everyone get a sense of the scope of this problem. That, according to layoffs.fyi, there's been about 60,000 people in tech laid off around the world in a little over 2 months now. And so just comparing that a little bit to the dot-com bust, from when I look back at announcements and other data that was tracking sort of what tech companies were doing then, they cut about 300,000 jobs across all of 2001 and 2002, which is really the peak of the crisis. So, you know, already in just these 2 months, you're getting up there in terms of the depth of job cuts, but it's not nearly as deep. What I'm trying to also dig through is, you know, as more data gets released on all these job cuts, just how does the absolute number of people who are laid off in tech compare, considering the tech industry is so much larger now than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah. And I know, I don't know if you have the data in front of you on it, but when I look at the companies that have laid off, it's all sort of anticipatory, right? It's things like Airbnb who, okay, Airbnb maybe is a case of a company that was immediately affected.
Yeah. Yeah, they were.
Right. And then with advertising, it's more like we see what the next few quarters are going to look like. So if we're a media company, we got to prepare for that. I mean, like, what's the sense of like the progression of layoffs? I mean, we haven't even really seen the full downtrend, you know, hit these companies yet.
Right. Well, I think if you remember back to March, you had it was almost like you had VC firms like Sequoia Capital, you know, come out and say COVID-19 is the black swan event. You know, we've also heard of, I think, VC firms like Andreessen Horowitz telling their portfolio companies, like, prepare for the worst. And that became a real cultural norm in the Valley, where startups had to look at how much cash they had left and how much, you know, cash would they have if revenue disappeared in a year. So you had, like, I think a lot of startup CEOs hearing a lot of advice from their board members, like, you know, prepare for the worst. And that means make as deep of a cut as as you can. And particularly in the areas of travel, transportation, consumer, you saw it was unusual, you know, if a company wasn't laying off 10 to 30% of their staff, if they, you know, were in one of those categories.
So I want to kind of zoom down into the personal aspect of this too, because, you know, it's more than just numbers. And we talked a little bit at the outset about how hard it is for people to, you know, reckon with a job loss and, you know, the families you have to take care of when you do lose a job. I mean, were there any people that you talked to that kind of just struck you as, you know, indicative of this time period and just the challenges that so many people are going to be facing as this, you know, unfolds over the next couple of months? Zoe, why don't you go first?
I think like one thing that was sort of striking is in some interviews that I had with people that were already kind of having a very tough time, or they were in freelance positions, or maybe they had been laid off from one role at a tech company and they just started a new job and were, you know, restarting their life. People who were like having a hard time are now like descending to the bottom so quickly. They're on Medicaid and, you know, just trying to use every type of financial support that they can. And I think that there's this aspect of desperation where it's really, really hard to even think about how to make money at this moment.
Yeah. And Corey, I mean, you spoke, you know, you kind of highlighted a lot of specific people in a story you did about layoffs a few weeks back.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, definitely important to underline, you know, the fact that, you know, being laid off does not just mean you are unemployed, but it just alters people's lives in so many dramatic ways. You know, one person I featured in a recent story is an Oakland resident by the name of Tim McLaughlin. He was laid off from the scooter startup Lime. He's in his early 40s, had sort of remade his career oriented towards tech, where he was, you know, kind of taking online coding classes so he could get a job at, you know, a transportation startup. And he was laid off kind of the day after his 3-year-old son had just gone through some pretty serious, his son had just been going through pretty serious cancer treatments, and he had just reached some positive milestones around those treatments. And all of a sudden he kind of has to scramble to find a job so he can have, you know, sort of have health insurance for his son.
Is he at risk of losing that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, like, obviously it becomes really expensive, you know, going outside of your employer. And things like that. I mean, I talked to a first generation college student who, you know, graduated, was the first person in her family to go to college, grew up kind of just south of the Bay Area, and ended up getting a job in tech because that's where you get a job. You know, if you are in the Bay Area and you're young, you know, particularly if you're young and educated, this is where you're finding employment. This is where the jobs are. It's at a VC-backed startup, you know, it's at a big tech company. And up until now, those places were seen, you know, I think maybe naively from some, to be very stable. And this has been a reality check that, you know, these companies are not always the most, cash rich.
Yeah. And I mean, it's so fascinating, you know, coming at it from two perspectives. One, you have someone in his 40s who actually was able to kind of reinsert himself into the tech world, which is not easy to do. And then also, you know, a young person who, what is it, probably his or her first job out of college, being laid off in the same way. I mean, Zoe, from like the college aspect, you had a whole piece just about what it's like for grads, you know, who didn't even get the glory of walking across the stage to get their diploma because of this sort of facing prospects of the job market in this economy. I mean, what was your sense talking to them?
I think, I mean, from the graduate perspective, it's like, what can they do? They're, a lot of them are graduating and they're already on unemployment. And it's like their summer internships are being canceled. And it's just like the number of complexities that people have to confront when they're even thinking about, you know, I was set to start a new job or a new internship, but it's likely going to be remote. Do I get a lease on a new apartment? And then there's like this additional aspect, which I'm hearing of more and more recently with like the move to remote work, where companies are taking these entry level roles and they're just opening them up to a huge number of candidates, which would typically just be maybe for like the San Francisco Bay Area. But because everything is likely going to be remote for a really long time, everything's just become increasingly competitive in that sense as well. So I think like people are just like, I want to take a step back. A lot of people are talking about going to grad school.
Oh no.
but I think people are just trying to keep their heads down for as long as possible and really just avoid entering the job market.
Yeah.
Tom, you're a proud USC grad, right?
Yeah. And not only let's just say I'm a USC grad. I'm proud enough. Go Trojans. No, I actually, it's funny, I graduated from college just before the 2008 recession, or really just kind of right around that time, and was laid off pretty quickly after, and then went to grad school when things were at their worst, really, and, you know, came out of it in 2 years with a job in journalism. So I can definitely relate to the people who went to grad school during that period. But, you know, it is a terrifying prospect because you take on a lot of debt to go to grad school and you hope that you're more employable because of it, but there's no guarantee. And it's kind of, I mean, it's just basically raising the stakes on an already pretty rough gamble when you've taken on debt just to go to undergrad. So, good luck.
And a lot of people that I talked to, I'm sure you did as well, Zoe, I think also should be said that I think a lot of people are fairly conscious of the fact that even if they are laid off, there is a bit of a privilege, you know, just being, you know, someone who is well educated, in a job, you know, a relatively job rich city, you know, if you live in San Francisco or New York. Everyone I talked to tended to have a bit of acknowledgement of that fact. You know, some of the people that have been hit hardest around the country by unemployment are, of course, you know, people who are working in hotels or are service workers in restaurants, like, so I think in particular, if people are going to use this moment to go to grad school or otherwise, there could be silver linings that could come out of that.
That's the hope. Well, I guess if we could possibly leave people with any sort of maybe resources, if they are, you know, one of the many that have gotten laid off, are there any sites or, groups or resources that you've come across that others have looked to that have been like a good way to see what's out there, what's a legit job that's out there, or, you know, any sort of support that they can get to kind of pull through what hopefully won't be that prolonged of a recession?
I found Candor, that list that I mentioned earlier. I believe if you go to candor.com, and then Silver Lining is another group that's formed around trying to help people find work. I know the Upstream community, it's a company that was founded by Alex Taub. They put some resources together for people who've been laid off as well.
Cool. Corey, anything?
Yeah, I would just add to that, just because I've been knee-deep in this recently. If you are on a temporary work visa and you've been laid off, which is a really tough position to be in, because you have to find a job quickly. There's a couple sites that I've come across. One is called Bridge. It's an immigration site. And another is called Drafted. It is a more, it's a recruiting site more broadly. Both of them are have new resources that they put together for people with H-1B visas or O-1 visas or other kind of visas to kind of help connect you to employers that are willing to sponsor those visas.
Gotcha. Cool. Thanks, guys. Well, pretty grim stuff, but hopefully next time we have you on here, we're talking about, you know, this V-shaped recovery and we're on the up. Everything's back. The machinery is starting to crank again. I don't know.
Looking forward to getting a beer with you in mid-August in San Francisco.
That's right. I just read London Breed's new guidelines for reopening. Sounds like I can't get a haircut until July, which is
wow.
That's a fucking disaster. Not a.
You gotta drive to Napa.
That's right. That's right. But that'll be the next trend piece. All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining, and talk again soon.
Mm-hmm.